Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That 590 Show. I'm your host, Matt Berger, alongside Matt Rocchio. Your DJ for the evening is John Giamatti Rudolph. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday. Excited about Memorial Day weekend, even though I don't do much usually on holiday weekends because that's when all the crazies come out. People who don't normally go out and do anything will go out and do something on the holiday weekend. That's why traffic sucks. That's why the traffic patrol is usually escalated as well.
Checkpoints everywhere.
Checkpoints everywhere. Like New Year's Eve is, I mean, right now I love New Year's Eve because my eldest niece, Nora, that is her birthday.
Oh, nice.
So that's the reason why I like New Year's Eve now. But before, I hated New Year's Eve. Most overrated holiday because it was amateur night.
Fourth of July is another one.
No, I like Fourth of July.
Well, fireworks and stuff.
Fireworks, I mean, stuff like that,
still have
yeah.
Crazies out there.
I even like Memorial Day. I just don't do much. Go to someone's house, have a cookout, pop open some beer, relax a little bit. Three-day weekend, I think a lot of people are excited about that. But we should say that the real reason for the Memorial Day, a lot of people kind of confuse it with Veterans Day. It's for, it's for fallen soldiers, fallen military members, not active ones. But, hey, thank them anyway, right? The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter, at 590 Show, at Matt_Berger, at Rock590, and at JohnRudolph22. Joining us at 620 will be Shane Young, NBA writer for bballbreakdown.com. At 640, our friend Nick Hand, Blues beat writer for STLSportsPage.com. And then at 7 o'clock, film critic Kevin Brackett from Real Spoilers. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. We know who is going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. It is going to be the Nashville Predators versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think everybody kind of knew Pittsburgh was going to win that game last night, even though it took a couple overtimes to get to that victory. But Pittsburgh losing a Game 7 in Pittsburgh wasn't going to happen. Another one that we were pretty confident about, even though Boston had pulled off the upset before, but I didn't think anybody really thought that Cleveland was going to lose that game last night, and they didn't. So now we're going to have Warriors v. Cavs round 3, and I know a lot of people are excited about it, and I'm here to tell you not to be excited about it because I've got a bad feeling. I got a feeling that if Cleveland doesn't win game 1, they're in danger of getting swept. There, I said it. Rocchio could not grab that microphone fast enough, and I know he's going to disagree with me.
Please don't play into that whole myth that I grabbed the microphone very quickly.
That's what Martin Kilcoin told me. He's a respected journalist.
Let's not give those guys in the midday any more ammo than they already have, Mr. Berger. Thank God it's Friday.
I know they listen to the show every hour
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Maybe on a Friday they're taking the day off. That's what I'm hoping. That's one of the few times I'll ever hope that. Son of a swear to Christ, Berger. I don't even remember what we were going to talk
about.
We were talking about how you think the Cavs could be in real trouble. And here's the thing. I actually think this is going to be closer than at any other point in this last year. This is the closest I think this series, except for maybe the 60-second period when Andrew Bogut's leg wasn't broken and he was in a Cavaliers uniform. I think that was the last time I actually thought in my brain, I think Cavaliers might be able to win the finals this year. I don't know. I'm just getting a vibe. I maybe it's because I was so cocky last year about the Warriors. I think maybe that's it, but I'm getting a vibe on this one. I'm not feeling this one as much.
I think a lot of it kind of depends on how the series is going to be called by the officials. If they let them play and it's a more physical series, then that favors Cleveland, obviously.
Heat fan would say that.
What does it have, me being a Heat fan, have to do with that?
You got to celebrate the finals win completely because of how the refs called it one year.
In 2006, I'm not going to apologize for it.
I'm not saying you should.
But if they call a tight game, then that favors Golden State. And here's the thing, though, is like Golden State.
LeBron gets to the line a lot, and if he actually hits his free throws.
Okay, but who's got Golden State? They do not have any real big physical players. They have Draymond Green, who will occasionally kick you in the nether regions.
He'll also hit 8 of 10 free throws.
And you have Zsa Zsa Pachulia. We all saw what he does, but for the most part, they're not a real physical team. Cleveland's much more physical than what Golden State is. But the thing is that Golden State. What's Cleveland's answer for Kevin Durant? They don't
LeBron
have
James.
One. LeBron's going to guard Kevin Durant the entire time. He's going to expend that kind of energy.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have a very exhausted LeBron James.
Yep.
And I have no idea how effective he's going to be on the offensive side.
Well, a lot of people are talking about how Kevin Durant's had a bad career against LeBron James. It's been primarily because LeBron has always stepped up.
I think Kevin Durant knows that this is his time. And I think he's the one. We should actually be saving this conversation for when we have Shane Young on here in about 10 minutes. But I think that this is going to be Kevin Durant's time to shine. And I think Kevin Durant's going to be the finals MVP. I think Kevin Durant knows that this is his moment, and I don't think he's going to let it slip away.
That's what Vegas says.
Yeah, I'm with Vegas on this one.
He's the best odds for finals MVP at 7-1.
It makes all the sense in the world.
LeBron doesn't have at least higher than that.
If you're Cleveland, though.
Cleveland wins because LeBron's the MVP, right?
Absolutely.
Or is it because Kevin Love goes full 2012 on us?
The only two real MVP options in my mind for Cleveland are either LeBron or Kyrie.
By the way, I know he was on a crappy team when he did it, but we're all forgetting the fact that Kevin Love used to put out 40 and 20 like once a week.
He's a Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh never, not a single season put up the numbers that Chris Bosh.
I'm not saying
that
he
Kevin
did,
Love did in Minnesota.
But you're talking
Kevin
about
Love's
someone.
Numbers in Minnesota were ridiculous.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you're talking about someone had ridiculous numbers on a bad team. They get to a good team, they went down. That's Chris Bosh.
Again, I think it's comparing apples and oranges because Bosh was never close to what Love did, and his numbers didn't drop off that much when he went to. He went from 23 points to 18 points.
That's a pretty big drop off.
That's a pretty big drop off, but I mean Kevin Love went from averaging 23 and 14 to averaging I think he's something like 17 and 10. I mean, I'm just saying. And I know he was on a bad team. I'm just saying Kevin Love used to put up ridiculous stat lines. Chris Bosh was the definition of efficiency. Okay, Kevin Love last year had 16 and 9. This year he has 19 and 11. He's had a better year this year, but
he's been healthier this year too.
He had 26 and 13 his last year in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Everyone's like, well, when LeBron finally drags his team all the way to the finals, I'm like, it's not like he's dragging. It's not 2007 Cavaliers.
I believe that's what
back here.
That's what Kenny the Jet Smith calls a looter and a riot. What Kevin Love was doing in Minnesota and what Chris Bosh is doing in Toronto.
Yeah, good stats, someone's bad
got,
team.
Yeah, someone's got to score, so it's going to be Kevin Love. It's going to be Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh actually has my favorite quote whenever he went to Miami. You know, you have LeBron James, you have Dwayne Wade basically talking him into it. And I don't think he would ever change it, though. He went down there and he won two titles and he got a max deal out of it.
Also,
even though the insurance is going to pay most of it. But he's got my favorite quote, which is, you don't realize the sacrifice you're making until you're making it.
Also, the big thing with Bosh, very different from Kevin Love, is that when Bosh got there, he couldn't do the two things that by the year two when they were winning a title, he was known for. Chris Bosh, when he got to Miami, couldn't shoot threes and couldn't play defense and defend the rim. By the time they were winning a title, it's because Chris Bosh was shooting threes and it was oddly a very good defender at the rim. Kevin Love is the exact same offensive player as he was in Minnesota with volume down, but still except for that one possession that helped him win the championship, has not really improved his defense. But then again, he has that one where he space jammed somebody's defensive talent for a possession. I don't know what the hell happened then.
One thing that Kevin Love does better than anybody I think I've ever seen is the outlet pass.
Yeah, that's true.
He is the absolute best. And that is one of the more underrated aspects of basketball.
The one he threw
is the outlet pass. He is fantastic.
The one he threw when LeBron boffed the dunk.
Yes.
Might be one of the best outlet passes I've ever seen.
But he was even doing that.
He did it through someone's hand, and I was like, you're not allowed to do that.
He was even doing that at UCLA. He was making fantastic outlet passes. I'm like, this is unbelievable. He's fantastic. I think Kevin Love's a great basketball player. He just, like, what he's doing in Cleveland's perfect. He's a perfect third option.
I thought he'd be better.
You think
I thought he'd be a little,
the points per game would be a little bit higher.
I just thought he'd be more efficient. Because that was the thing with Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh became a very efficient player, and he was taking a lot of 3-point shots. I thought Love would easily consistently shoot well over 40% from behind the arc. But he's still only a 37% shooter behind the arc. I mean, he had a couple of years in Minnesota. His volume was up, but he was over 40%. A little surprised by Kevin Love. I actually think that he's been a little bit still. I think he's still a little bit disappointing. And what he's done since he arrived in Cleveland over the last 3 years. This year he had his best year since he got there, undoubtedly. And I'm not that blown away by what Love's done. I do not think he's completely seized the moment the way that Chris Bosh did. I don't think so at all.
I think that I think a good question to ask Shane Young when we have him on here in a little bit is, how long is Kyrie Irving going to be happy being the second fiddle? How long before he wants to be the first option? Well, and like basically be his own man.
That's the thing though, is when Kyrie wants to, LeBron has no problem. Kyrie dribbles the ball into the ground like he always has when like he was the only one who was still touching the ball. He just had his highest points per game of his career this year. So I don't think he's really fiending. In fact, he had his highest rate of shots this year. He took almost 20 field goals per
game. Sure, okay,
season.
But I mean,
his highest before that was 18, and that was his second year when they won like 12 games.
It doesn't
There's
matter.
No reason.
No,
for him
certainly
to be complaining.
There is. I'm not saying he's complaining.
I'm saying,
because he's always going to be playing in LeBron's shadow. Always.
Do you think that ever bothered Bosh or Wade? Sure as hell never bothered Bosh.
I don't think it did because Bosh isn't that kind of guy.
I don't think Kyrie's that kind of guy.
I don't think it bothered Wade because Wade won a title before LeBron got there.
I think Kyrie is a classic player who's very expressive and showboaty on the court, but off the court in his actual personality, more reserved. I think Kyrie's very reserved comparatively, and so I don't get a sense of like if Kyrie was a lot more like Russell. I would start buying that a little bit more.
I don't think Russell Westbrook and LeBron James could coexist.
No. But I think Kyrie has a much more reserved personality off the court. And I think actually he's perfect for LeBron on the court because, again, when LeBron wants to sit back, Kyrie will literally dribble the ball and take every possession and take it to the rack every time. So I actually think he's perfect. And, again, I think their off-the-court personalities actually mesh perfectly as well.
Let's head to the Belmont Automotive phone line. And Mr. 99.9% is joining us.
You were 13 minutes off, man.
I was 13 minutes off. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about you, gentlemen?
I can't complain. What's on your mind?
I was looking at Stephen A. Smith the other night. He was talking about LeBron James, and he basically saying that LeBron James was scared of the Golden State Warriors. I'm like,
no,
man,
I don't think he's
crazy.
No.
He up there calling a man. I was talking about, yeah, you gotta perform. You gotta show your best because Kevin Durant and all those guys over there looking at they want to take your title and all this stuff, man. I'm like, man, LeBron James knows what he needs to do, okay?
And I don't think LeBron's afraid of anybody.
I mean, he admitted it's stressful, though. He admitted the prospect of facing them again is stressful. I mean, that's LeBron's own words. So I wouldn't say he's worried,
but that's not fear, though.
No, that's not fear. But I think LeBron already has given you the extent of how of where his fear or anxiety could go, which is he's stressed about it, and how could you not?
You could say right now there are probably two peerless professional athletes in their sport right now where they have absolutely no peers. One of them is LeBron James. Who's his peer right now in the NBA presently? He has none. All of his peers are retired and have been for a long time. And the other one you could say is probably Tom Brady in the NFL. He's got no peers.
Yeah.
I agree. I just think especially Draymond Green, man, he's talking about even – I don't know if you saw that clip of him, but he basically said if we face the Cavaliers in the finals, he basically want to annihilate them. That's what he said.
Well, of course he wants to. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, why wouldn't
he? Draymond Green's the classic example of one of those guys who hates losing more than he likes winning. Draymond Green's he's one of those. I say what you will about him with the way he kicks people, but Draymond Green, if you know where he came from and how he got here, that man's an unassailable competitor.
And I got
think
a feeling that,
out.
And I have a feeling that Draymond Green probably feels a lot of guilt about being suspended last year.
Undoubtedly,
and a lot of people are thinking that had Draymond Green not been suspended, then they would have already won their second title.
He did play his butt off in the game he came back.
He did.
Well, I think Kevin Love, he really has been playing some spectacular ball. If he keep playing ball like that, I think Cleveland, they can win the series, man.
You think so?
He has, yeah. You know what? I'll say that. I'm a little disappointed in him at times during the regular season and how he stepped in as that third wheel. But he has, Mark's correct, he has this playoffs and obviously last playoff. He has taken, he did take his game respected to where it was in the regular season. He did play much better in the playoffs, which is something considering the fact that that first year in Cleveland was his first time ever playing in the playoffs. This is his third year in the playoffs ever. The guy's like his 10th year in the league. That's crazy.
If he could find his stroke, if he can get hot behind the arc, then, yeah, Golden State's in trouble.
Yeah, and I know. That's why I see guys. Like I said, this guy, not only he been shooting shots, he's been grabbing rebounds and playing some pretty good defense also. So if he keeps playing the way he's playing, man, I think Cleveland can win the series.
I think one thing that doesn't get talked about enough right now is that this is the seventh year in a row that LeBron James has been to the NBA Finals. Seventh year in a row.
It's crazy.
How about him breaking Michael Jordan's playoff scoring record, man?
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
wow.
I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I stand by it. I think LeBron might be the best player I've ever seen. We were talking about the actual play on the court. I'm not talking about score. Michael Jordan was a better scorer than LeBron was.
Like LeBron say, why even compare them two? They totally two different players.
I heard Colin Cowherd say this, and this is a pretty – I think you're going to like this. He was like, comparing Michael Jordan and LeBron James is like comparing McDonald's and Starbucks. They're completely two different places.
Right, exactly. They two when I see LeBron James, he reminds me nothing of Michael Jordan, man. Nothing of him.
No, I actually think he kind of plays more like Magic Johnson, and I think he's better than Magic.
Exactly. He is. You know, I don't know why people keep comparing the two, because their games are not even similar,
It's not about comparing them in the way their games are similar. It's just that, you know, the fact of the matter is that when it comes down to it, people want to talk about the best player ever. People have the debate all the time in football because that one's even bigger because there's even more positional variance between the two. I mean, yeah, they're different kinds of players, but at the same time, I don't think that means you can't ever have the discussion about who's the best player ever. I think they were having a discussion about who's the best player ever before Jordan hit the court with six straight finals. I'm sure they were having the discussion about best player ever, and the conversation was Magic, a point guard, Larry, a forward, Kareem, a center. So I think, you know, before Jordan, we were having the discussion without talking about positions. You can have the discussion without talking about positions and style of player.
And with Jordan, it was six titles in 8 years.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but I mean, so I think you can still have the discussion. You just have to acknowledge that they were different styles, and that's why you look at points. That's why you look at rebounds and assists when it comes to LeBron.
Mark, have a great weekend, buddy.
Okay, you guys too. Take it easy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you on Tuesday. For the first time this afternoon, let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
Cardinals and Rockies in action tonight. Carlos Martinez will take on Antonio Senzatella. Senzatella has not faced any Cardinals in his career. And so here's the lineup that will get their first look at the righty for the Rockies. Fowler, Garcia, Carpenter. Garcia there playing shortstop. Jerko, Molina, Pham. Pham playing left field. Grichuk moves over to right field, and he will bat seventh, followed by Wong. And then Martinez in the pitcher's spot. Speaking of those NBA Finals, Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas has your favorites, the Warriors. -260 are the favorites, the Cavaliers, the underdog at +220. Early reports have tickets about even, but the bigger money is on the favorite Warriors. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Don't criticize it.